and welcome to another edition of Two Steps Ahead podcast, encouraging you to take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. I'm sure you've heard the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And oftentimes it's used to teach younger kids how to treat each other, show kindness, be nice, play well, get along, things like that, right? The golden rule is recognized by a lot of people, accepted by most people. I mean, if you take a look at the different religions the world has to offer, you take a look at Islam, for example, and the golden rule is embedded in Islam. No one of you is a believer until he loves for his neighbor what he loves for himself. How about Buddhism? Hurt not others with that which pains yourself. Or Hindu? This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others what you would have not them do unto you. Okay. What about Confucianism? I'm not sure if Confucianism is a religion, but a lot of people will look as to what Confucianism has to say and follow it. It says, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. So the golden rule is embedded in pretty much every major religion. So again, widely accepted by most people, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't want people to treat you bad, don't treat people bad. If you want people to be nice to you and say kind things to you, naturally do the same thing. So you're basically going to set the example for others. I want you to treat me this way, therefore I'm going to treat you this way. Now, in social circles, especially like I said with younger kids, that's a pretty good concept to teach and a pretty good concept to understand for kids to get along. But what if we took that to the adult level? Well, we do that anyways, right? Well, let's see. So if the golden rule is accepted by most people, then it must be difficult to justify demanding better treatment for myself than I would treating you. So treatment for myself from others is better than what I give towards others. That would be hard to justify, wouldn't it? Can't expect people to treat me more or better or in a specific way that benefits me when I'm not doing the same thing, right? So if it's accepted by most people, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, then the golden rule can be used to find or maybe create common ground with other reasonable people. I mean, it's easy to understand, is it not? Do unto others. Act, speak, behave towards others. And in return, they do the same thing. Okay. But then, what if we take that into the business world or our professional setting? What does that look like? I mean, you wouldn't want someone to do or say something to you, kind of like that they can give it but not take it mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like people are going to treat you a certain way, which is lower, an expectation of lower than what they want. Kind of like that give it but not take it mentality. Oh, I can push the jokes on other people, but I can't be the butt of a joke because I get offended. So I'm going to treat you poorly, but I expect you to treat me at a higher level. That can't be justified. So when you take a look at some of these things, when it comes to the golden rule, you can realize that, first of all, it's widely accepted by most people. So most people should have an understanding of this concept because it is an easy concept to understand. And it's a win-win for everyone. I mean, we can look at any type of profession out there, whether it's business in the business world, coaching, like athletics. I know they have business coaches as well, but you can look there too. But you have the business world, maybe the athletic kind of coaching world, the teaching profession, maybe customer service. How many times have you dealt with customer service and they don't treat you very well? Or maybe you don't treat them very well, and so they get mad back at you. Or maybe in your personal life, in your community, your neighborhood, etc. I mean, in coaching, I think to this day is still the professional bullying job. I don't know of any other job out there, any other entity out there that gets away with berating players and treating them less than they want to be treated than the coaching profession. I mean, how many times do we see coaches yell at players? But if a player yelled at a coach, they'd probably cut from the team, fined, whatever. So coaching profession is still a bully profession until coaches step up and decide that, no, we're not going to continue in this journey of putting our players down. And besides, if somebody yelled at you and screamed at you and berated you, are you going to want to elevate your game? Probably not. Now, I know there's motivation reasons for it, and you're trying to come up with ways to motivate your players. Maybe it is modification. And so you're trying to get something going, right? A coach might get a technical foul to ignite his team, or maybe a baseball coach gets ejected to spark a comeback. So I understand there's strategy and philosophy in behaving a certain way. However, I'm just talking in general. If you're on the practice field or on the court, the gym practicing, and somebody messes up and you go after them, I mean, do you think they really purposefully intended to miss that shot? Probably not. Do you think they really intended to try to lose the game? Probably not. So again, what does it benefit anybody if a coach is yelling at the player, tearing them down? Because again, you would never do that if you were the player to the coach. And if you're the coach, you would never accept that behavior. Or let's take it a step further. You have coaches who also teach. They do both. Well, in the classroom, would it be acceptable for you to throw a history book or turn over a table or a desk in the classroom because somebody didn't understand a concept on the whiteboard or the chalkboard back in the day, or because they failed the test? Would the behavior as a coach yelling and screaming at your players for getting something wrong, would that be okay in the classroom? No, it would not be tolerated. In fact, it would be abusive behavior. And that's what happens in the coaching ranks a lot, abusive behavior. Now, that also works in the business world. There's many times in the radio business that I have been a part of meetings where management is being a big bully, where they're abusing and being abusive towards their employees. And what for? What reason? Well, probably because they're on the hot seat themselves too, and they want to try to pass the buck, as they say. So business, coaching, teaching, customer service is a big one. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are completely just ignorant of life, and they somehow, some reason, hold customer service jobs, right? Whether it's on the phone and you're talking to them and they can't answer your question, or whether you go into the store. I mean, customer service just in general is pretty poor. I mean, think about how many times you've gone through the drive-through and the order's wrong. One time I went to the drive-thru and all I really wanted was a beverage. But I thought, you know what? I would get a little snack to go with it. I didn't want fries. So I think I might've gotten like a small order of like chicken McNuggets or something. It wasn't McDonald's, but it was chicken nuggets of some sort. I know every time you say McNuggets, people think McDonald's, but it wasn't McDonald's. I don't like McDonald's. Because last time I went to McDonald's a long time ago, two Egg McMuffins and an orange juice was like $20. You kidding me? So I drove off. But anyways, so I'm at this drive-thru and I literally order a large beverage, Dr. Pepper, and what, 4 or 5 chicken nuggets. That was it. Okay, just a snack. Now, granted, I can understand that the drive-thru speakers might not be the best, not Dolby surround sound. But I do expect you to know the difference between a Dr. Pepper, which I emphasize, and a Diet Coke. Because I say it several times. Dr. Pepper and my nuggets. Is it right on the screen? I look to the screen of the drive-thru. Dr. Pepper, nuggets. Yes, it's right on the screen. Okay, please pull forward. That would be $800,000. So I pull forward and I get my order. They give me the drink. They give me the bag. And I proceed to drive off. Usually I check, but I figure it's on the screen. It's two items, basic items. Can't possibly screw this up, right? 0-2. Diet Coke and chicken stars or something like that. Now, again, you can nitpick nuggets, stars, whatever. But the point was they didn't even get the order right. Customer service. Okay. So now it's like, do I go back and berate them? Do I just, you know, take the order and go? I mean, I'm on the road. Do I go back, waste my time? You know, and so you can see where the escalation of wanting to go back and scream at the person behind the counter, who now, if you're in California, is making $20 an hour. But I just decided to go on and let it be. And no, Diet Dr. Pepper is not the same as Dr. Pepper, even though they gave me Diet Coke. So even the diet would have been wrong. And no, Mr. Pibb is not Dr. Pepper. Go to a restaurant. Hey, do you have Dr. Pepper? We have Mr. Pibb. Not the same thing, folks. And then you have, you know, how do you work with your neighbors? You know, neighbor disputes in your community, things like that. How do you treat them? Hello? Are you like a Mr. Wilson from Home Improvement? Or are you somebody else, something else? So the golden rule is widely accepted by most people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So whether you're in the drive-thru situation, whether you're a coach, whether you're an employee or an employer, dealing with your coworkers, however it is, you can understand doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Widely accepted. It's easy to understand. Just treat people how you want to be treated, period. It's a win-win for everyone. Productivity is going to go up in the workplace. Probably have better success with the athletic teams. Be more at peace out in your community. Community won't be so upsetting to you. And then the golden rule has a compass, like a moral compass, if we want to call it that. It'll give you direction and predictable direction every time you use it. Kind of like the concept of a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, someone's yelling at you. Well, they're looking for that pushback so they can continue to maybe escalate. And so you decide to give them a soft word and it kind of calms them down because they can't scream at you anymore. But it provides a compass when you need direction. Okay, you can use the golden rule to just kind of calm things down. It might seem like it's a soft or weak approach, but we've learned that it's actually a show of strength to control your emotion. It's a show of self-control to not get bent out of shape, yell, scream, throw things. It's composure. So it keeps you in check. And if you're in the business world or the professional world, it really makes you come off as a leader. So think about that. Whatever's going on, maybe it's chaos because it's the quarterly report and things aren't going well. Maybe it's in like a football game, for example, where there seems to be all kinds of chaos running around on the sideline. Maybe it's in the community because something's going down. Maybe it's a school board meeting, something to do with your child's education. Whatever it is, maybe you're a teacher in the classroom and you have to deal with an excited parent or maybe a kid that's just gone off the rails, which is common these days. And so you want to lash out at these people or just the drive-thru, you know, customer service. How many times you want to throw the phone across the wall or reach through the receiver and grab the person on the other end because they're just not making any sense. But if you use the golden rule, okay, let's see. If I was in this situation, how would I want to be treated? Well, then you move accordingly. And that shows strength, self-control, composure, the sign of a true leader. And so it's starts to become a little clearer that the way we should act towards others in the professional world, in the business world, in our communities is to treat each other the right way. And that's what it comes down to, really. I mean, think about it. It comes down to how we treat other people. Am I treating them nice? Am I being angry toward them, saying mean things toward them? Am I lifting them up or am I tearing them down? Am I bringing out my inner greatness? Am I raising the standard so that I can be an inspiration and motivation to others? Or am I doing the opposite? Am I bringing them down, not being an inspiration? So it's easy to look at other people when we deal with things, relationships, responsibilities, how things happen in life. Someone else's fault. I mean, we see it from the government all the time, right? Blame this person, blame this political party, blame, blame, blame. And yet those people in Capitol Hill that have been there for 30, 40 years, it's been the same problem that they've never addressed and they've never fixed, but they're going to blame somebody else. So in the business world, let's say you have a business and you have employees and you're thinking about this. Okay, it's the golden rule. Well, instead of me thinking about them, how am I treating them? Let's turn it around and ask ourselves some questions. Okay. So again, the golden rule is widely accepted by everybody. It's easy to understand. It's a win-win for everyone, and it provides a moral compass to show us how to act. Self-control, composure, being a true leader, showing that strength that it requires to be a good leader. So let's ask questions about ourselves first. So we're going to ask ourselves, how do I want to be treated? How am I going to treat others? If I start with me, how am I going to be treated? Or how do I want to be treated? And then how am I going to treat others? So the first thing I would imagine is I want to be valued. Isn't that what we all want? To be valued in our relationships? Not to be walked over or taken advantage of? In fact, 70% of people who leave their job do so because they do not feel valued. I mean, think about that. If you've left a job, why was it? Sure, maybe pay is in there, better pay, maybe better working conditions or job hours, don't have to work the weekend. But a lot of times, it's because you don't feel valued, don't feel appreciated, maybe not even wanted. Maybe you feel like you're expendable or replaceable. But if you take that stat and you apply it to relationships, have people stop talking to you because they don't feel they are valued in your life? When we put the focus back on us when it comes to this thing, it kind of opens up some things, okay? So 70% of people leave their job because they do not feel valued. 70% of people leave relationships because they don't feel valued. Have you ever made someone feel worthless? Has someone made you feel worthless? Because being valued in a relationship, whether it's work or social, it's important. You're not going to waste your time trying to give somebody attention, waste your time trying to give somebody of you and not get anything in return. So being valued. They say that like encouragement is oxygen for the soul. I mean, you think about that. Encouragement is oxygen for the soul. So if you're an employer, a boss, have a company, are you encouraging your workers? If you're a coach, are you encouraging them? I can almost guarantee you that the ratio between coaches that yell and scream versus encouragement, uplifting their players. The successful ones are going to have a ratio where the encouragement and the positive reinforcement and the good things that a person can invest in another person is going to be higher, and the yelling, screaming is going to be lower. The teams that fail are going to be reversed. The coach is going to be a screamer, a yeller, a non-motivator, a punisher, and the reinforcement of the praise and all that is going to be secondary. So it's how we treat others and how do we make them feel. So they want to be valued. I want to be valued. I want to be appreciated. The deepest need by virtually every person is the desire to be loved and valued, which equals appreciation to a certain level. And we're not necessarily talking, you know, the agape love that we talked about during Valentine's Day, or the, love, the romantic love. You know, we're talking about just a genuine appreciation. You know what? I value what you do. I value how you do things. I appreciate your effort of showing up and trying. Thank you for what you do. That can go a long ways. So how can you let people know that they're appreciated? Well, you thank them for every opportunity that you get. You don't have to overdo it, like every little thing, but I mean, be genuine about it, right? Don't overkill it. You don't want to be watered down. But again, thank you for everything that you do. Maybe give credit to someone else when they are due credit. You know, as a leader, maybe in the business world, or maybe you guys are working together as a group or committee, don't always take the credit if you're the leader, especially if you didn't do the work or deserve the credit. Maybe give credit where credit's due. Give credit to the other team members. Give credit to the ones that came up with the idea, that put together the proposal, that worked hard in the off season. In the radio business, unfortunately, people do take a lot of credit for things that they weren't responsible for. That's how you get ahead, right? And it became a dog-eat-dog world. And that experience, unfortunately, is too bad. So avoid that. Because you might get the credit that time, but now you've got a whole group of people that resent you for stealing the credit, not even sharing the credit. And the next time you work together as a group, you're going to be hosed. To make them feel really appreciated, you can praise them, encourage them in front of other people, and not only in front of other people, but in front of other people that are close to them. So let's say, and you kind of see it with teachers, right? Their little Johnny's getting picked up in the pickup line, and you're the teacher, and you help him get into the car, or maybe the mom comes to pick him up on campus. And so you encourage little Johnny, and you give him praise in front of his parents. And that makes little Johnny feel good, right? A little Sally Sue. Now, what if you did that in the business world, in the adult world? You kind of heap praise upon and accolades upon somebody in front of others that are close to that person. That would make them feel really appreciated, wouldn't it? Would it not? So, questions to ask ourselves. I want to be valued. Do I? Yes, I do. So therefore, I'm going to value other people. Do I want to be appreciated? Yeah, I do. Therefore, I'm going to appreciate others. And I'm going to do that by thanking them at every opportunity. Give other people credit when that credit is due, or as a team, we all did this together. And then to maybe say some encouraging things about them in front of their loved ones or people that really know them. Because then that shows that, okay, wow, they're really willing to say something in front of my family, in front of my friends. The big thing is this. This is the toughest thing, too, when it comes to some of this stuff, is trust. Ask yourself, do I want to be trusted? And if so, then I have to trust other people. Now, it's been said by some, and you can agree, disagree, whatever, but that it's better to be trusted than to be loved. Now, sometimes you might say love and trust go together, and they do. But think about that in the business world, okay? Trusted. Are you trusted with a position? Are you trusted with key responsibility, even though you might not be the most popular person? Maybe you're just low man on the totem pole, but yet you've been trusted with a big project, a big assignment. You know, trust in the foundation for leadership, leadership in business, relationships. Trust is the foundation of all good relationships. Now, I say that, so you have trust builds foundations of leadership, foundations of, I guess you could say love if you wanted to, foundations of things that can be withstand the tsunami of bad things, the obstacles that come away. If we have trust, then when the things go bad, we have a foundation built that's going to survive that. When trust isn't there, it's like building your business on sand. And when the waves come, it's going to knock it down. Okay. So when you're building trust, most people assume that trust is just automatically there. My personal belief is that trust is earned. And the more you earn it, the more you are given. Now, granted, when you initially go into a relationship, maybe it's a business, maybe it's whatever, there's going to be that initial trust between two people. If you are a mom or parent and you're sending your kid to school, initially, there's going to be trust given that you take care of my kid and educate them. Now, at some point, you're going to trust them more and more if you get to know them more and more, that then maybe the relationship expands beyond that. What do I mean by that? Well, just for example, you know, growing up, elementary school, went to a smaller elementary school. And so our parents got to know all the teachers that I had. And, you know, at some point there were times where, you know, got to go to Disneyland with one of my teachers. Who gets to do that, right? And that was fun, you know, a non-school event. But the trust had been built up that my parents felt comfortable. And it was an experience to remember. And I remember riding Space Mountain for the first time. Teacher encouraged me to go on Space Mountain. And changed my world, because that's becomes one of my favorite rides for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they used to have the chocolate chip cookie as the moon just as you went down the ride. But anyway, so things like that. Or maybe you're allowed to go over, you know, somebody's house for a barbecue or whatever the case may be. But you take that trust and it goes beyond the classroom into more of maybe the social circle. Okay. Or maybe you meet new friends. And so the parents get to know each other. And then pretty soon there's a trust there that they allow their kid to come over and maybe spend the night, or you allow your kid to go over and spend the night. But trust like that has to be built up. So to me, trust is earned. And the more it's earned, the more you get. However, you have to lay a foundation of trust to begin with so that you can have this working relationship. So the question then becomes, how do I maintain, or how do I demonstrate trust? Okay. So we're talking about the golden rule that's virtually accepted by everybody. It's easy to understand. It gives us kind of like a moral compass to let us know what we should do in certain situations. It allows us to demonstrate strength, self-control, composure, which all leads to good leadership. Okay. It also allows us to be valued and to value others, to be appreciated and to show appreciation towards others. And then it also builds the foundation of trust. So how do I demonstrate this trust? What if I'm a leader? Let's look at it from a leader's perspective. How can I maintain or demonstrate trust? Well, the first thing is to maintain integrity. Oh, integrity. That's a big word right about now in this day and age in society. What is integrity? It's a lost art is what it is. But integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. Think about that. Maintain integrity. If you want to be trusted, you want to demonstrate trust. You know what? You can trust me because I maintain integrity. I'm being honest. I have strong moral principles, and I'm not going to refuse, and I refuse to change them. I'm not going to change them. There's a lot of people that have confided in me a lot of things that I'll probably end up taking to my grave, you know? Won't share them because they've confided in me because one of my principles is not to go blabbing around to others what somebody confides in me. So upon my death, a lot of, I don't want to call them secrets, but a lot of private conversations will go to the grave with me because that's a part of my integrity, my moral principles, not changing. If you want to maintain trust, or maybe even demonstrate trust. You need to openly communicate your visions and your values. Okay. So again, you're the leader, your company, your CEO, right? And you want the people to follow you. I have a vision for this company. I have certain values I want this company run by. Maybe it includes work ethics. Maybe it includes these other parameters. Share that vision. Because if you're openly communicating with others, the people under you, for example, then you have nothing to hide and they don't think you're being shady and they know exactly what they're working for. So have that open communication. Then you want to show respect to others. You want them to feel like they're maybe an equal part of that success. Granted, there might be a hierarchy in business where you're the boss or, you know, maybe you're the owner of the company and then you have people under you. But as the boss, you need to rely on the people under you to have success. So let them know that they are part of that success. Make them feel like they're a part of that success. And maybe that's done, you know, you see companies that have, you know, company owned where maybe they have stock. People that work there get stock in the company. Maybe there's, you know, dividends given back, I don't know, or other special, you know, benefits that you get, right? And so there's that financial part of it. But I think more times than not, sure, we want the financial part of it, you know, to show that, hey, we are a part of this. We are equal partners, so I'm getting paid. But I think there's more to that. It's just, again, goes back to that being valued, going back to being appreciated, okay? Those are the things that employees value more. Those are the things. How many times have we seen movies where two people are in a relationship and the guy's out there doing whatever it is he's doing, working hard and trying to, you know, make all this money, and then things go bad, and then the guy tells the girl, all I was doing is trying to get all this for you. Do all this for you, make all this money, buy you all these things, all this for you. And she replies, I don't want any of this. All I wanted was you. It's that type of thing. These other things can be good, but without you, it doesn't mean anything. Without that equal partnership, it doesn't mean anything. Without that open communication, it doesn't mean anything. Without that honesty, it doesn't mean anything. So trust doesn't mean anything unless you have some of these principles. In fact, unless you have all of these principles, maintain integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. Trust is openly communicating your visions and values. And there could be other things in there as well. Show respect to others. And if the relationship makes them feel like they are equal partners to whatever level you can, then trust is going to be built even more. Focused on shared goals rather than personal agendas. I mean, in relationships, that's what you do, right? For the most part. Granted, everybody has their own agenda, but it's a commonality of let's put our agendas together for the common good of the relationship and move forward, right? So again, share those goals, share those agendas, because anything that's in secret is going to be divisive and cause problems and break trust. Do the right thing regardless of personal risk. This is a tough one too, because it, again, goes back to our integrity. It goes back to us being honest and having strong moral principles that we refuse to change. And so we find something is bad in business and we have to report it. Maybe we lose our job. Maybe we lose our workplace friends. Maybe we get a demotion because we have spoken the truth. Or maybe we just lose our job because we have to. But doing the right thing regardless of personal risk, you know, that's one of the hardest things to do. Listen with an open mind and do not be so open-minded that you lose yourself. You want to be able to understand what the other person is saying. I understand what you're saying. I'm listening. Okay. Some good points, some valid points. However, I'm not just going to openly say, okay, let's just go with everything you say. All right. Especially if you're in the position of leadership, you want to listen to the people under you, the people that are actually doing the work. And then if you can take what you can from them and maybe implement it, you know, something more than just a suggestion box, you know, I mean, we're talking about genuine feedback. So you're going to listen with an open mind to understand what they're saying. Don't always have to accept it, but listen to it. Because oftentimes, even if you don't take what they say and implement it, the fact that you're listening to them makes them feel valued, makes them feel appreciated, makes them feel a part of the team. And then you're building that trust. And not only that, you're treating each other the same. So now everything is moving in an upward fashion. You want to demonstrate compassion as well if you're building trust. Okay. Genuine compassion, not this fake stuff that could be rolling around out there sometimes, but demonstrate compassion. Yes, you have family. Yes, things go bad in life. Yes, I understand you're struggling because of XYZ. I get that. What can we do to help you to continue your productivity during this time? Can we come together as a team? Can we have other people come in and help you? You know, whatever it is. But show some compassion, because compassion demonstrates that trust. I trust that what you're saying and the things you're going through are real and genuine. On the flip side, don't say your grandma died for the 18th time and you got to take the day off and go to a funeral, because then that trust is broken when you find out that you don't have 18 grandmothers that have died. Be genuine. And then maintain confidence. Confidence is, I won't say the secrets, but the things that are told to you in private. Okay, that's one confidence that you want to maintain. But then maintain confidence in self, confidence in the people that you have. Okay, so there's two confidences that we're talking about here. Things that are told to you kind of in private, in secret. Don't go blabbing them out to everybody, because that breaks trust. But then also maintain confidence in the people. Okay, you know what? I trust you to do a job. I have confidence you're going to get the job done. I'm not going to show up and micromanage everything you say or everything you do. I'm not going to oversee looking over your shoulder all day long. I have confidence that I hired you to get the job done. Therefore, you will get the job done. Maintain confidence. So again, how do you demonstrate trust? Well, you maintain integrity. And you maintain that integrity by being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. Now, I'm not going to cover for you because you came in 40 minutes late. You should probably just admit that you came in 40 minutes late. Oh, you didn't finish your proposal on time? Well, we're going to have to let them know that you didn't finish your proposal on time, but I will jump in and help you finish that proposal so we can get that proposal done. And then when you're the one that didn't get the proposal done and had help, and you go to the meeting and they say, wow, this actually turned out to be a great proposal, even if it was late, don't take all the credit. Say, well, you know, I had help from an associate. This person was willing to jump in and help bail me out because I didn't get it done in time. And so we collaborated and came together and we got this done. Communicate your visions, your values to other people, the people under you, the people working for you. Show respect to others, because then if the relationship is there, that trust is going both ways, it makes them feel like they're kind of equal, even though they may not be on the equal level as you. You know, they might not be an executive vice president of whatever. Maybe they're your employee, but they feel a part of the team. Focus on shared goals rather than personal agendas. Do the right thing regardless of personal risk. Listen with an open mind, but do not be open-minded, Ned. Do not have such an open mind that you lose yourself. Demonstrate compassion and maintain confidence. Confidence in what is told to you in private. And then confidence in the people around you. I hired you for a job. I believe you're going to do it. Now go do it. I may check up on you, but go do it. So keep in mind that you can't control others and their behaviors towards you. This is a key thing, because when we talk about the golden rule, do unto others as we would have them do unto you, or I'm going to treat you so you treat me the same way, might not always happen that way. You might treat people a certain way and they might be treating you in a bad way. But that doesn't mean we start treating them bad, because we have integrity. We have honesty. We have strong moral principles that we refuse to change. And those moral principles say that regardless of how you treat me, I'm going to treat you with respect. I'm going to treat you with XYZ. And again, you may have to alter it a little bit because if trust is betrayed, then you don't want to give them more trust. You're going to take trust back. So again, this isn't a one size fits all package. These are kind of guidelines when it comes to the relationship. But most of the time, again, it's common ground. Everyone understands this. It provides a compass for us to kind of act. And if we do that, then we should be able to treat each other well. But again, keep in mind, we can't control what others and those behaviors of others towards us. But you can control your actions toward them. Again, I believe trust is earned, not given. You can have a level of trustworthiness to start. And then the more trust they earn, the more trust you give them. And putting that trust in them, you can make someone feel trusted. If you don't give them that trust, let's say they've earned it, but you don't give it to them. Now, you're making them feel as if they are untrustworthy. And that's going to be problematic because they feel that, hey, I am a trustworthy person, but you're not trusting me with anything. You're not giving me more trust. So you must think I'm untrustworthy. And now that creates complication, which then should go back to open communication. So you have to have a fine balance, a balance between all of this, balance between trust and the level of trust that you give as it grows, maybe more and back and forth. So then you have to ask yourself, I want to be respected. Okay. So we started out with trust. First off, we start off with the golden rule. The golden rule starts with you, starts with me, you know, starts with the individual. So do I want to be treated? How do I want to be treated? How am I going to treat others? Well, I want to be valued. I want to be appreciated. I'm going to show appreciation by thanking them at every opportunity I get, give credit to others where credit is due. And then I'm going to appreciate them and give some kind words to them in front of people that are close to them. Then I want to be trusted. So I'm going to trust others. And we just talked about that. And so now it's, I want to be respected. So if I want to be respected, then I need to respect others. So if you want to be respected, you need to respect others. So here's the rules to live by about respect. If you have a problem with someone, or if someone has a problem with you, make sure you deal with it in private. So again, if you have a problem with someone, or if someone has a problem with you, make sure you deal with it in private and talk to that person so that you can try to resolve the problem and find out if you're the problem, if they're the problem, or if it's a combination, which it probably is, of both. So deal with it. And again, in confidence, then don't go blabbing to everybody else what it was about. Make it known that if someone has a problem with you and they go to someone else, make sure that someone else then tells them, no, you need to go talk to that other person that you have a problem with. Because then the gossip gets going. Gossip girls on CW, canceled. Tell them, no, you go talk to the person you have a problem with first. Then if you can't and you need an intermediator or someone to help, then we can help you. But talk to the person first. So when you're being, and so when it goes back to trust, when you're sharing these values and these visions, maybe this is one of it. You tell everybody, hey, if you have a problem with somebody, especially with me, you come and talk to me directly. You go talk to that person directly. Don't go to anybody else. And if somebody comes to you, anybody else, and says, I have a problem with somebody else, you tell them, go talk to them first. If that doesn't work out, then you can have a mediator. And then we'll go from there. So you want to deal with the problematic relationship head on, basically to start. Nip that thing in the bud if possible. Now you want to be careful how you interpret someone's attitudes or actions when you're dealing with this, okay? And just in general. Because if you think they are off, or if you think something is wrong with them and you don't go talk to them, then you might create a bigger problem. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe there was a loss of life in their family, and so the person is down and maybe being a little offsetting, and you take it as rude. Maybe they just don't want to deal with people that day and they have to work. Just an example. There's a myriad of those type of things that can happen. They're just having a bad day. They're in a bad mood. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Whatever. Doesn't matter the reason. They're having an off day. And you take it as, oh, they're rude. Maybe, but why? We don't know. So again, you want to be careful how you interpret someone's attitude and actions. Go talk to them. Hey, you know, I know you were kind of rude this morning. I'm sorry if it's, that's how I took it as. You were being rude. Are you okay? I just want to make sure. Oh, you're dealing with something, but you're not ready to share and you don't want to share. Okay, I completely understand. So now I know moving forward, if you snap at me, you're going through something. I won't take it personally. Communication. Now you might think that person shouldn't snap at you. But again, that's not what we're concerned about. Because remember, we're not concerned about their attitudes towards us, their behaviors towards us, because we can't control that. We're just concerned with our attitudes and actions toward them. And if we know they're having a bad day, doesn't matter what they do to us, I'm going to understand and have compassion that they're having a bad day and just leave it at that. So again, you don't want to go talking bad about them and causing all kinds of bad things because you inferred something that may not be true. So have the same respect. Because if you were going through that situation, wouldn't you want them to do the same thing? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule is our compass. Oh, they're having a bad day. They're being rude. Well, if I have a bad day and I'm being rude, wouldn't I want compassion? Of course I would. So now I understand. I'm going to let them do their thing. And then maybe I'll go back and check up with them tomorrow. Or maybe when they're in a little better mood, just say, hey, you know, I see you're feeling better today. Everything good? Everything doing better? If something's shared with you in confidence, we just talked about this, don't break that confidence. The biggest way to break trust and respect is to tell other people things. The only expectation that you should tell others is if there's a criminal act, self-harm, harm to others, you know, those type of things. But here we're talking basic relationship standards. Don't go blabbing. Don't manipulate others. If you want to be respected and you want to respect others, don't manipulate others. Don't be manipulative. Manipulative. Manipulation, in case you don't know what it is to control something or someone to your advantage. It's often unfairly or dishonest. So don't do that. Don't use manipulation if you want respect, if you want trust. Because it's using someone or something to your advantage, which is often unfair or dishonest. If you want to be understood, you want to be understood? Yeah, we all want to be understood, don't we? Well, when dealing with other people, try to understand them first before you seek their understanding. This could require some flexibility, maybe some teachability. You know, I mean, people have a lot of, typically nowadays there is a, or at least there was a certain standard of dress code, right? So dress codes are kind of going out the window depending on your profession. So you might have people, a server come to you and have green hair or red, white, and blue hair or who knows whatever, all kinds of tattoos, piercings, whatever. You may not understand it. Why? And maybe if you're a little bit older, that was taboo in the old days, but now, you know, these young, whatever they are, Gen Zs or millennials or whatever they are, they're doing all kinds of wacky nutty with their bodies. Who knows why? But maybe just try to understand it. That's their culture. I don't get it, but hey. And maybe it's teachable. I mean, I learn a lot of things from people. Just ask them questions. Tattoos. You know, tattoos at one point was kind of a forbidden thing, a taboo thing. Maybe not forbidden, but taboo. Now everybody has them. And so I ask people, hey, tattoo, what does that mean? Sometimes, don't say I regret asking, but it gets into a deep conversation. I'm like, ooh, I just opened up some wounds because tattoos are personal and could mean pretty much anything to anybody. But again, when dealing with other people, try to understand them before you seek to be understood. might require flexibility and teachability. There's a great difference between knowing and understanding. Keep that in mind. You may know a lot about someone, but you may not really understand them. Remember, any action you take ultimately impacts other people, whether individually or as a group. So if you hurt, if you defraud, if you take advantage, manipulate, or basically mistreat someone, and you hurt them in that way, then not only are you hurting them, but you're probably hurting somebody else, because they might go home and then take it out on somebody else, and so on and so on. So again, if you don't want to be hurt, and you don't want to be hurt, so you hurt other people, then don't hurt other people. So the golden rule basically comes down to character. And character counts, especially when you're talking about trust and when talking about the way we treat others. Character is more than talk. If you can talk the talk, then walk the walk. Character is a choice. You choose to conduct your life in a certain way. Character can bring lasting success. People learn it. They learn about you, and they learn about your character. And so then that becomes your reputation. Your reputation precedes you into success. Character, you become trusted, dependable to get the job done. You're there for them. When it comes to the business world, I guess, there are three types of people. I mean, in life, I guess, there's three types of people. Okay, there's those who don't succeed. There's those who will experience temporary success. And there are those who experience lasting success. And the only way to experience lasting success is by having character. And so if you adopt the golden rule as maybe one of your tenets, your foundations, what we've been talking about today, maybe you adopt the golden rule as the integrity guideline for your life. Maybe this helps you make decisions because you have an integrity component to the guidelines of your life. Like Confucius said, to know what is right and not do it is the worst cowardice. So adopt the golden rule as the integrity guideline for your life. Make your decisions based on this integrity guideline. Manage your decisions based on this integrity guideline. Ask others to hold you accountable for your actions, because integrity is the foundation of a person's life and accountability is the cornerstone. So again, you have people, and then all this is your reputation. So your reputation is the cornerstone for following the golden rule. A good reputation alone can bring about the treatment you want to receive. But once your reputation slips, you will be attacked from all sides. So make sure your reputation is unassailable. And that's what this comes down to. Comes down to that the golden rule can be a foundation for a successful life. The way you treat others. Again, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's widely accepted by most people. It's easy to understand. It's a win-win situation for everyone. And it's the golden rule that can become a compass when you need direction. It starts with you. Ask yourself, I want to be valued. Or maybe make the statement, I want to be valued, therefore I'm going to value other people. I want to be appreciated, therefore I'm going to appreciate others. And I'm going to appreciate others by thanking them every opportunity I get, give them credit when credit's due, and to make them feel really appreciated, praise them or encourage them in front of their loved ones. How do I want to be treated? Well, trust is involved in there. So then you ask yourself, I want to be trusted. Then you have to trust other people. Maintain integrity. Open communication. Show respect. Focused on shared goals. Do the right thing regardless of personal risk. Listen with an open mind, but not be open-minded that you lose yourself. Demonstrate compassion. Maintain confidence, knowing that you can't control other people's behaviors towards you, but you can control your behavior towards others. I want to be respected. So I'm going to deal with the problem with somebody front on. I'm not going to judge somebody because I might not know what they're going through that particular day. So I'm going to ask them. Someone's talking to me in confidence. I'm not going to break that. And I'm not going to manipulate others. I'm not going to control them to my advantage in an unfair or dishonest way. And then when I seek understanding, I'm going to understand first before I seek to be understood, which requires flexibility possibly and teachability. And then it comes down to character. Character is more than talk. It's a choice. It can bring lasting success. People cannot rise above the limits of their character. There are three types of people: those who don't succeed, those who experience temporary success, and those who experience lasting success. And having character is the only way to have lasting success. And so by adopting the golden rule as perhaps the integrity guideline for your life, you can make decisions based on this integrity guideline. You can manage your decisions based on this integrity guideline. And others can hold you accountable based on an integrity guideline that they know and that they understand. And so it doesn't become too confusing. Ultimately, it comes down to your reputation. And so your reputation is the cornerstone for following the golden rule. A good reputation alone can bring you the treatment you want to receive. But once your reputation slips, you're attacked from all sides. So make your reputation unassailable. This is Two Steps Ahead Podcast, encouraging you to take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. Check out our website, RadioWarp.com. That's radio, W-A-R-P, RadioWarp.com. You can click on the Two Steps Ahead Podcast logo, and all of our podcast episodes do pop up. We have them on video form from Rumble. They're also on YouTube. We have the audio version on our SoundCloud page, which you can see from our orange banner across the center of our Two Steps Ahead Podcast page on RadioWarp.com. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can just do an internet search, T-W-O, Two Steps Ahead Podcast, and we pop up. You can also email the show, twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com. That's twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Everything is T-W-O, Two Steps Ahead Podcast, and so we're easy to find. And so if you need something, reach out. If you're looking for us and you can't find us, again, everywhere you listen, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartMedia, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, I mean, literally just internet search, T-W-O, Two Steps Ahead Podcast, and we pop up. So, golden rule, something to follow, something to consider, something to think about, not only in our social circles, not only teaching our young kids, but also in our business life, in our jobs, in our professional life. It might help us to develop a good reputation. And that good reputation then becomes the cornerstone for everything else that we've talked about today. It comes down to your character. It comes down to who you are. And so that's something definitely, I think, to consider. Two Steps Ahead Podcast, encouraging you, take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. Hey, thanks for listening. Do tell a friend. And until next time, God bless.